You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
For Dear Science this week, our expert, Dr. Crystalyn McGovern, joins us from outside of the studio. Good afternoon.
Kia ora.
And what kind of morning are you having, or I guess what kind of morning have you had today?
Not too bad today.
That's good.
And
we've got lots of science to get through, right? Very exciting. Fossils, amphibians, burrowing, what's going on?
Right, so these are some salamander-like creatures that have recently, well, not actually so recently discovered. They found evidence of these back in 2014, so about 10 years ago, but they've kind of just described them, and they've just described a project that they did with the community around these fossils. So, Wyoming, which is kind of, it's in the centre of the US, 230 million years ago, it had dramatic seasons. Like, it would be torrential rain for months, and then it would be really, really dry.
So
not really an ideal place for an amphibian to live, right?
Because
they don't like to dry out.
Yeah.
But Wyoming's also quite well known for being a great area for fossils. And so there was these group of paleontologists who were looking in this specific area of Wyoming, and one of them was really interested in what's called ichnoology. Now, what this is it's about trying to find hidden biodiversity through looking for tracks of animals or traces of other living organisms. So you're not necessarily maybe finding the fossil bones themselves, but evidence that the thing was there. So footprints are the common one we
right.
think of.
Right, yeah.
And so what this paleontologist found was actually there was all these like strange cylindrical structures in the rock that he was looking at. And then he actually found one that had a little skull in it. And so they investigated the skull, and at first they thought maybe it's just a baby croc. But then when they looked at it and prepared it a bit more, they found out that no, it was more like a salamander. So it was an amphibian.
Yeah.
And then, which is kind of quite cool. And
yeah.
then when they looked at the skull, it was kind of, was a little bit, like kind of call it scoop shaped. So you can imagine that it kind of had the skull that was used to help it burrow into the ground during these dry months. So, you know, it would hang out on the surface when it's nice and wet and it's an environment it likes. And then when it's going to start drying out, it would burrow down so it could maintain a moist environment around itself and survive.
Bit like hibernation there, I guess, right?
Exactly. That's, you know, like we do see this a lot through the animal kingdom, these sort of behaviours to basically maintain an environment that's good for them. They may, kind of hibernate or just chill out for a while,
and,
you know.
And
what was also kind of...
Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, the other thing that was kind of cool about this project was they discovered these, and then they were like, they'd only found this one skull, right? And so then he's like, well, there must be more out there. So he sent out a whole bunch of undergraduate students to go look and dig. And so they ended up finding about 80 different burrows with bones and stuff, and they never found a complete skeleton. But they found a few skulls and a few other bits and pieces, and so they were able to better describe this animal.
Yeah, wow. And then the second topic here, squirting cucumbers. What are these, right?
Right. So I had never heard of a squirting cucumber before.
Yeah, me neither.
It sounds a bit weird. And so immediately my mind went to, oh, well, this has got to be like a seed cucumber, but it's not. It's actually something that's dispersing its seeds through, well, they basically, it's named for its ballistic method by which it disperses the seeds. So as you can imagine, it squirts out its seeds.
Crazy.
Yeah, and so actually it's been, this has been known for a long time, like from ancient Greek Roman times. Like there's actually a quote from Pliny the Elder who said, unless to prepare it, the cucumber be cut open before it is ripe, the seeds spurt out, even endangering the eyes.
Oh, so this is a bit of a well-documented case. It's very rare we get Pliny the Elder commenting on our Dear Science stories.
Exactly, right? So this cucumber has been known for a long time, but it's not really been understood how it achieves this. Like, so it will have a 30-millisecond launch of its seeds. Its seeds can achieve 20 metres per second, and they can go up to 10 metres away from the fruit. So that's about 250 times the length of the actual fruit. So that's pretty amazing, right? And so, obviously, we have high-speed video. So they were using 8600 frames per second. image analysis. They did some mathematical modelling. They also used computed tomography and some indentation tests, and they basically to work out how is this plant managing to eject its seeds so fast and far. And so what they found was what will happen in the weeks leading up to the seed dispersal, that the fruit will pressurize, so there'll be a fluid build up in the fruit. And then in the days before they get this dispersal of the seeds, there'll actually be what they call a fluid redistribution. So you'll get some fluid will go from the fruit into the stem, and this actually causes the fruit itself to rotate from being nearly vertical onto a 45-degree angle. See, I kind of picture it as, you know, like it's starting to set its target.
Right.
And then in the first hundreds of microseconds of the actual dispersal, you'll get the ejection tip of the stem. Basically, the tip of the stem recoils away from the fruit, and so it causes the fruit to counter-rotate in the opposite direction, basically. And then you get this dispersal of your seeds. And so because of this process and the way that you've got basically this recoil in that, it means that the seeds that are ejected first will basically get the fastest and the furthest. And then what comes out second is, you know, not quite so far and not quite so fast and so far. And so you kind of get a bit of a like stream of seeds.
A bit spread as well.
Ring-shaped sort of area. So it's a really good dispersal system, obviously.
Yeah, like very efficient.
And so they did, to better understand this, so, you know, like they've used these image analysis techniques to figure out how this is actually happening. But then they actually did some mathematical modelling as well, just to vary the parameters on, you know, the pressurization or the fluid redistribution and the angles and stuff, just to kind of understand how good this system is. And it actually turned out that this plant has evolved, right? It's a very good system of dispersing these seeds. Like if you change minor parts of this process in some way, these seeds don't disperse as well.
It's sort of the most optimally created squirting machine.
Yeah. So it's most optimal in terms of it squirting out its seeds. So whether we take Pliny the Elder's take on this, and it's, you know, it's optimized for taking out our eyes. And so what's also kind of cool about this though is now with better understanding of the system, like we know that we often look to nature to inspire the way we engineer things, right? And so now you're going to have scientists who will no doubt look at the system and go, how can we do something similar to do a task that we need, like possibly delivering drugs, you know, like if these are, you know, quite high speeds, you know, there are things about needleless injections, you know, is there some way that we can adapt these systems for this sort of task?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe water sprinklers in your garden, you know, that'd be a quite unique way to get that around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so really interesting stuff there. Cucumber squirters, definitely a highlight of my week. letting everyone know and hear about that. All right, well, thank you for calling in for Dear Science this week, as always. And thank you, Moshat, and thank you, Science. We'll be right back after a short break. Keep it on the B.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to Moshat, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.